Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Church, if you're ready to receive the word, can you confess out loud, today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, why don't you take your seat, high five someone, tell them how they smell good today. Yeah, Melanie's checking, she smells good. You do, bub. You smell great. All right, let's get around the Word of God. So about 6 months ago, I preached the Word. You might remember, I titled it, I Am Chosen. Does anyone remember that, I Am Chosen? The scripture I used was from Matthew 22, for many are called, but few are chosen. And ever since I preached that word, there was a line that I said in that message that's pretty much just stuck with me. And to be honest, I think about it all the time, you know, that I have choices in my life. And something that I realize is that the chosen people in life choose. And so I've titled today's message, The Chosen Choose. It was like an anticlimax to my own. Anyway. And The Chosen Choose. And it's just something that I've realized is that chosen people choose the right things in their world. They make the right decisions. There's choices in our world every single day that we have to make as people. And if you want to be identified as a chosen people, you have to choose the right things in your world. So we're going to break this down a little bit today. But the scripture that I want to look at is from John 14, verses 1 to 6. Now, this is Jesus' word, so you better tune in. It's all in red, in the New King James Version. It says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I like this. "If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Then doubting Thomas, he said this to Jesus. He said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" I like this about Thomas. Thomas reminds me of me. I don't know if you can identify with Thomas. So Thomas is the guy that when Jesus was risen again, was resurrected, he walked into the disciples, and Thomas said, "I need to see the holes in your hands before I'm going to believe." And I think that's something that I would say is like, I like what you're saying, but this is a bit far out. I believe in miracles. It's a bit far out there, but until I actually see a miracle with my own eye. Does anyone ever think that? You see miracles or you hear the stories. I like someone posted, I think it was someone in the church. You did a great Facebook post. It was of that person over in Africa and their arm got drastically healed. Did anyone see that on Facebook? Yeah, it's been going around. Just absolutely, I sat there and I was just staring at the screen going, I just want to see everything that's going to happen. And this arm is completely like, just, it was weird. It's not a normal arm. Bones were coming out the wrong angles and everything. And the arm, they just praying and it just gets straighter and straighter and straighter and then comes out. Not at all is it possible that that could have just been, you know, photography or anything like that. It was a genuine miracle. I love that. And so sometimes I'm like Thomas, I need to see. And this is what he said. That's what he said to Jesus. Jesus replied with this. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Such defining words. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Have you ever kind of thought to yourself, what does it mean for Jesus to say to us that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life? Do you ever sort of think, what does that, like it's an interesting concept, you're the way. Well, first of all, he's not here, he's in heaven. So how does he like walk before me? How do I find this way? You know, he's the truth. well, what does that mean? And then here's the life, you know. I've always seen this as an interesting scripture. What Jesus was really saying to us, to humanity, to his disciples that day, was you can choose your way or you can choose my way. You can choose your truth or you can choose my truth. You can choose your life or you can choose my life. Now, Paul said, those who are in Christ have crucified their flesh with their passions and their desires. In other words, as Christians, we are called to choose Jesus. We are called to choose his way, his life, and his truth. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end, the end is the way of death. So I just want to stop your thinking right there. For those that are thinking about, you know, their way is good, their way is the right way, I want to stop you that if it's made up of your own thought processes, own experiences, own knowledge, it needs to be filtered and touched by the power of God. God needs to come on to what you think is the way to live your life, and God needs to come in and transform that so that the way we live is the way that he has ordained for us in our lives. Because his way leads to life. Our way leads to experiences that we wish we never had. Life has taught me that one. Great, great depth of knowledge. Up to this time, so this is the Last Supper that Jesus said this in. And up to this time, Jesus had proved to his disciple that to follow him requires faith. That to follow, now we're called the people of the faith, amen. So, you know, following Jesus Christ requires faith. And we're going to have a look at what this looks like in real life in just a moment. But Jesus had proved up to now, up to saying this, that forgiveness for those who have messed up is found in him. That he is the God of healing. That he is the God of acceptance. That he is the person of grace and love. That he is the person that can instill hope into other people. Up to this point in history, Jesus had proven his truth, that it's liberating, that it's transforming. It's of a higher authority and a higher purpose, that it's righteous. Up to this point in history of talking with his disciples, he has proven that his life is for us, that his life is to unite humanity with God, that his life is tangible yet supernatural, that his life is divine, and his life is of a realm unfamiliar yet familiar to us at the same time. See, the life that Jesus lived and had lived up to this point, showing his disciples, and it shows us here today that we can trust him, we can place our hope, our faith in him, whether it be your finances, whether it be healing, whether it's the need of a miracle, whether it's the need of a transformed mind, whether it's the need to break addiction, whether it's the need for new habits, whether it's the need for new actions in your world, we can trust in the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that? That's good news. Before Jesus took the cross, he said all these things. He gave us this choice of his way, his truth, and his life. God has called all men unto himself, but the chosen must choose. The chosen must choose. In each of us, in you today, is the strength to choose God's way. In our troubles, we can choose God's way. In our mind battles, we can choose God's way. In our language, we can choose God's way. With our time, we can choose God's way to use our time. With our desires, we can choose God's way. The chosen choose. If you want to be a person that's identified as chosen, we need to choose God's ways. Doesn't matter our age, we all have things in our world, departments in our lives, that struggle to come in line with the Word of God or be submissive to the Word of God or be transformed by the Word of God. And often these things just happen because of life experience. Often these things happen because of things that have happened to us or in our worlds when we were young, when we didn't have the opportunity to choose. Before we had the opportunity to choose, some people chose for us. And this is what parenting's about. But, you know, there's not all great parenting out there. And so sometimes, or in your schools or in your universities, things have happened to you that you never asked for. But today, God wants to realign these areas with the Word of God, which is full of hope and life and prosperity and blessing. But we do this by choosing. We have to make the choice. We have to make the choice to say, my life will line up with the Word of God. You know, when I pray for healing these days, I used to just once, and nothing wrong with this at all, but I used to just once, you know, speak healing and just, you know, God, your anointing and just come and blah, blah, blah. But you know what I start to do now is I speak to that thing and I tell it to line up with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the authority, not me. It's the Word of God in me. Jesus is the Word. We remember when we did kenosis and pleroma a few weeks ago. You know, if you missed that, you can grab it on Podbean. But we learned that Jesus is the Word. Before creation, He was the Word in heaven, and the Word became flesh, which is Jesus Christ. So the Word of God, the authority that Jesus is in you and I. That's what the Word of God is. So as we brainwash ourselves with the Word, renew our minds with the Word of God, we now carry the authority. We aren't the authority, but we are the carriers of the authority. So when we speak to our lives, our own world, we command it to line up with the Word of God that says, I am whole. The Word of God says, I have the mind of Christ. I don't need these thoughts. I don't need to entertain these thoughts. I can't stop the thoughts from coming. That's the enemy's realm. But I can choose to not entertain and to tell my thoughts to line up with the Word of God. That's my choice. The chosen choose. So in order for you to be chosen or to be seen as a person chosen of the Lord, we must first make choices to follow the ways of the Lord. Amen? Let me give you some analogies. So, you know, with me, before I became a pastor, I remember many times, because I've had this dream since I was like 12 years old, and I'm still in my 30s, but I'm in my 30s, and so all of these years, I've been saying to God, you know, God, why don't people choose me? Why is it like I've had this dream, and I gave myself, man, I said, God, whatever you want, I don't know if anyone else has ever prayed these dangerous prayers, but God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Like, I'll give you my whole life. I'll give you everything. You know, my mind is yours. My intent is yours. My living, my day, my job is yours. Everything, I'll give it all to you. I did this at 12 years old, but God, why do I not get chosen? And I believe that God put a scripture in my heart many years ago. And it's 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent to present yourself to prove to God. And what I realized in that moment was I had a choice. And God said, Graham, the chosen choose. I've called you. I've called you. For many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen must. I've called you, but I need you to choose to show yourself approved unto God. And what this meant for me was, Graham, I need you to choose Bible college. This is what is very practical. I need you to choose Bible college. Now, I was always the guy that, you know, the Bible says that God promotes and God demotes. We've seen that scripture. So I was like, God, well, you'll promote me. It's all in your timing. But the truth is I had a choice to make. I need to, in order to be viewed by the world as chosen by God, I had to first choose God. And He said to me, I need you to study and show yourself approved. I'm speaking to someone who's going to Bible college next year, and you're sitting on the fence, okay? God wants you to study and show yourself approved. Yes to man, and yes to God. It's both. It's not just God. This is revelation. We study to show ourselves approved to man. Let me show you. You would not follow my teachings if I didn't have my doctrines and theology grounded in the Word of God. I promise you, this church would just go backwards and die if my theology wasn't grounded in the Word of God. I had to study and show the world, and I had to study and show God, I will show myself approved. I will be approved and stamped by your word, by your theology, by your doctrines. And so that was it for me. The chosen must choose. You know, Abraham in the Bible, you know, Abraham become the man, I suppose you might say, of the Israelites. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, God changed Jacob's name into Israel. And so this is where we get the lineage or the name of the Israelites. Now, we all know the Israelites as the chosen people. But the truth is Jacob first had to choose. See, Jacob's father, he worshipped idols, all the idols of the land, which was very common in those days. But Abraham's family used to make idols. This was their livelihood. So they would sell carvings and I don't know what they did, sculptures, sand sculptures or something back then. But they would sell these idols to the other families, and that's how they made their income. Now, there is a term I can't remember right now. It's a Hebrew term that means God above gods. So they believed that your and my God was the God above gods, but there still are other gods. And so they had the gods for everything, God for washing up, God for the ironing. You know, I just say, oh, my God, I've got to iron again today. But you know, they had gods for everything. That was a dad joke. I'm nearly 40, so. They had next year. It's coming so quick. Anyway, they had gods for everything. For Abraham to follow the call of God on his life, God called him to give up his family, his house where he grew up, the family business, everything he knew, all of his past experiences, everything that mum and dad had taught him and the relatives taught him. When you see the story in the Bible, God called Abraham to be sacred unto him, to be a chosen person identified unto the Lord. See, for we read the story of the Bible and we just see it as so simple. God blessed him and this became that and that became that. And hey, we got Israel and we got chosen people. But the truth is that man had to give up his whole life. And when he chose God, we then get the chosen people. And here you and I are today invited into that. How amazing is that? The chosen choose. I wonder what in your world God has called every single one of us in this room. Everyone listening to this on Podbean right now, God has called us all. We are all his sons and his daughters. How good is that? We have all been predestined. We have all been formed by the loving care and fearfully by God. So he has called every single one of us. What changes the Christian from the non-Christian is the ones that choose Jesus Christ. But perhaps in your world, even as a Christian today, God is wanting to use you to set you up for future generations. God is wanting to change this planet through you, but it requires you to say, I choose you, God. I will lay this area of my life down to see this addiction broken over the lineage of my family, over my children's and my children's children's. I choose right now to bring this thought into captivity, God, and to line it up with your word so that my children and their children do not have to struggle with these mind battles. I choose right now, Lord God, that I'm going to change my household and I'm going to train my children up in the ways of the Lord so that my children know what it looks like to train their children up in the ways of the Lord. Because the Bible says that those who do that, their children will never depart from him, which is the greatest promise in all the Bible, is that our children will not depart from the Lord. I choose right now to bring my heart before you, Lord God. And it's hard right now. It's bitter right now. It's full of anger right now. It's full of hurt and pain. But God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to place it at the feet of the cross. And God, I'm going to turn from that cross and I'm going to start to walk in victory one step at a time away from that cross, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Lord God, knowing that I am identified by who Jesus Christ is, because he's no longer on the cross, but he is risen again on the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's the victory we have. But we must first choose, as Paul said, to take up that cross daily. What that means is we must choose to get this thing, this area, the behavior, this thought pattern in our world, and we must choose to come and sacrifice it to God and lay it on the cross. That's what it means. Just as Jesus sacrificed his life,
Paul said, we also must sacrifice our life. But Paul goes further. He says, let's do this daily. In other words, the battle's going to come to us daily. The enemy's never going to stop. While you and I breathe, he's going to bring things to you daily. New thought patterns, new mindsets, new behaviors every single day are going to come. But we are stronger, God says, than the world. And we are stronger than the attack of the enemy because we have the power of the Holy Ghost in us. Does anyone believe that today? That's why we're victorious. As Jesus rose again, so can you and I in every area of our lives. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you've been defeated. Don't ever let yourself feel like you can't conquer that thing. Every day, keep confessing, I am past this, I am through this, I am an overcomer, I have not been overcome by sin and by the world and by the enemy, but I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ that has set me free and redeemed me. Come on, let's give God a shout because he did that for us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's a guy in closer history, more recent, and he had a great evangelist friend. Now, he was only 3 years older, so born in 1915. And around 1940, his evangelist friend, so this is just after World War II, and his evangelist friend was in the papers and in magazines and things like that back then on the radio, that this guy is going to be the biggest evangelist that history has ever seen. God had called this guy. But Charles Templeton, or Chuck Templeton, some would know him as, he struggled inside of himself with the Genesis, the days of creation, like the first book of the Bible. But as we all know as Bible readers, that the foundations of the Word of God are all founded in Genesis. So the Hebrews say, if you can understand the book of Genesis fully, you'll understand the rest of the whole Bible. And so this guy, Chuck, he was struggling with the days of creation. Now, there's lots of theology. I have studied it all. There's lots of theology about the days of creation. Can I just tell you this? Just move on. Don't get stuck on the days. It really just does not matter whether it was 6 or 7,000 years or 70,000 years or 7 days, or are they our days? Are they 24-hour days? It just does not matter. God created the world, created you and me. He said we can eat the fish and that they're yum. So don't feel guilty about fishing. I was speaking to someone today. Anyway, they're beautiful though, right? The big ones are. Anyway, so Chuck struggled with creation. And believe it or not, could you imagine this tension? So he was filling out stadiums with people and having altar calls back then of thousands of people coming and giving their lives to God. The whole time that he used to preach, he was struggling to even believe that he believed in God. Amazing. Isn't that, that's the power of the Word of God. It's not, it doesn't matter the man that delivers. The Word of God holds itself. It doesn't need you to have all the perfect language. I mean, look at me. I stutter my words all the time and half push them out and, slur them around. Who cares? It's the Word of God. And when it comes from your mouth, it carries the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a person's life no matter how it gets delivered. So never let the enemy say you're uneducated, because I'm uneducated, but I'm up here having a party today. And so can you, because God has called you. So now it's up to you to choose, because the chosen choose. So here's Chuck, and he's struggling with this. So he decided to do something. Now, Chuck only had a grade 9 education, okay, and he decided to go to college. And he was going to Princeton Theological Seminary. Now, he couldn't get in, so he had to call on some friends that he had made all around the world, and they spoke to the professors and so on and so forth. Anyway, they get him in on a blue card, so to speak, and he gets in. That's probably wrong terminology. Yeah, bad terminology. But he gets into college when he doesn't deserve to go to college. He doesn't have the intellect. And he gets there, and he gets screwed up in his mind, in his theology. And basically, they're talking about creation, and they, they start bringing in all this New Age stuff. And Chuck's theology just goes out the window. And Chuck comes out of college and decides to denounce God. Now, if you jump on Google and type in his name, you'll see all the books that are anti-God that he wrote. At 80 years of age, he wrote the most anti-God book. And I've got time, actually, so I might go on a little bit. He said to a reporter on his deathbed, he was literally on his deathbed, and this is how he separated. Man, God never let me get to here, but he separated the man, Jesus Christ, from Messiah, Jesus Christ, from God, the Son of God. He said to this reporter, the reporter said, is there anything you regret in your life, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know what? I miss Jesus. He said, I miss Jesus in my life. He said, I had the most amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, he's the most pure, most humble, most effective, transformational man I have ever, you see my language? Man that I have ever met. No one in history has ever done the good that Jesus did. Jesus died 2,000 years before him saying this. Yet he was able to have this spiritual relationship with Jesus, yet keep him off the throne. Yet keep him off the... Chuck struggled to make the choice to walk in his chosenhood, if that's a word. Is in the fact that God called him. He didn't make the choice that would tell the world to identify Chuck as chosen. Our decisions, church, identify who we are. I want you to listen to this because this is really the heart of what I'm trying to get to today. Our decisions show the world who we are. The world will see you as chosen by the decisions we make to choose. Wow. Good. Your work colleagues will look at you and go, you are just chosen by God. Obviously, you're chosen by God. They can only say that when they see the lifestyle that chooses God. If you don't choose God to reform the thoughts or the tongue or the heart or the emotions or the past, people won't see who God is, who God can be, and who God is to you. Because you might love God, but until you choose his way, his truth, and his lifestyle, the world will not identify God in you. So you will tell them about a God that you do not know. Dare I say. You will tell them about a God that you believe in, but you don't walk in his ways. Because they can only see God on planet Earth through you and me. So our choices form our identity. Let me say that again. This is an amoral concept. Not just God here. Our choices form our identity. If you're struggling with who you are, that's because your identity is based in your choices of who you are. If you want to move on and love yourself, if you want to move into your future, into 2020, and love who you are, you need to formulate an identity that's found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because his ways are truth and life to us. Amen? If you struggle with accepting the way you behave, the things you say, we need to renew our minds, we need to renew our actions, we need to renew our heart so that our voice will speak and form a new world around us. So that's the power of the gospel. It's all in the gospel. I could preach it. I'm running out of time, so I won't. But your voice will form the world around you. But the voice speaks out of the heart. Who judges the heart? So he's concerned about the heart. So we need to bring our heart before God and say, God, your way, your truth, your life. Would you come and transform my heart? I choose you. I choose the heart of God for my heart. So Charles lost his faith in Scripture. So therefore, he had no firm foundation for his identity. He lost his faith in God. He then went on to change this great evangelist, trying to not give away the name. He then tried to convince him of the same thing, and this great evangelist was preaching night after night, leading people to God, searching his soul, and he said this prayer to God. He said, "Father, I'm going to accept this as thy word." And he was holding the Bible by faith. "I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and my doubts. And I will believe this to be the inspired word of God." That evangelist that prayed that prayer is Billy Graham, the world's greatest, biggest, historically biggest evangelist that we've ever had. Here's what I want to say about that. Chuck Templeton was meant to be that evangelist. The chosen choose. Billy Graham chose faith for what he didn't understand with his mind. Will you choose faith today in that healing that needs to happen in your body? You can succumb to it or you can remain in faith. Would you choose faith for that person that you're believing for, that are walking away from God, their backs turned to God? You can give up and give them over, or you can remain in faith. This is my child. They are a child of God, created by the Lord God Almighty. He formed him. And God, if your every thought and every heartbeat is on that person, so will my prayer be. Will we choose faith today? You know, God wants to enlarge your faith. God wants to enlarge our strength. God wants to enlarge our capacity to be able to handle more, to be able to counsel people. Like, when do we move on? This is a big challenge, okay? But I'm gonna say it because it's on the tip of my tongue. When do we move on, Christians, of being overwhelmed by our own lives? When is it? This is Christian maturity, all right? Keep an open heart. When can we move on from being overwhelmed by our own daily circumstances? God wants to grow our capacity. God wants us to be the answer for others. In order for us to be the answer for other people, we have to grow beyond buckling under the pressure of our own life, under our own affairs of the world, in our families, in the world around us. And we need to bring them to God and offload to him and go, "God, I offload these emotions and feelings to you so that I am fresh, because God, I'm going to be the answer to others." See, in order for you and I to be the answer to others, other people need to be able to spill out onto us and for us to not buckle under that pressure. Because it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the Lord. But we can then speak because we've got a free mind. We've got a free heart. We've got free emotions. We can counsel people and speak life into people. We can speak Jesus into people because we don't buckle under the pressures of our own life. Church, God wants to grow our capacity. He wants to grow what we can actually handle mentally, physically, listen, financially. The blessings, we're blessed to be a blessing because God wants us to grow our capacity. I wonder today, will you be like Billy Graham and choose to believe in God even when you don't understand? Or perhaps like Abraham, you know you need to trust God to lay down your opinions, to lay down your perceptions, your experiences, and allow your identity to be formed in Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you're like me, and it's time to shift the gear in your world. It's time to simply just say yes to God. For me, that was study. For you, it could be something else. but it's time to shift the gear as we look into 2020, as we're looking at Christmas and having our family that we only have over once a year because it's Christmas. Maybe we've got to shift the gear and be the ones that forgive around the table. Maybe we've got to shift the gear and be the ones who invite when we never invite. We have to wait till we get the invitation. Maybe it's time for us to shift gears in our world. As we look at 2020, these are decisions to be made. There is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life to be had. And it's greater, it's above, it's supreme. It's something we've never yet lived. Not one person in this building or listening right now has ever lived the greatness that God has for us. He has greater days. I believe that your best days are ahead of you. Do you believe that? I believe that God has greater days. For me, every day, God, today is a greater day than what I have ever had. I will influence in a better way than what I've ever influenced. I will speak in a more mature way than what I've ever spoken. I'll have more wisdom than what I've ever had. Today is the day of the Lord, and I will rejoice and I will be glad because it's actually the best day that I've ever had in my life. That's our heart and our mindset. I just want to finish with this. As you move into your future, will you choose God's way? See, the chosen choose to allow their identity be covered by God and His love. The chosen choose to practice pure mindsets, encouraging talk, wholesome relationships. The chosen choose to say yes to God no matter what it requires of them, like Abraham. The chosen choose to live by faith that God accepts them, God loves you, and God is for you, like Billy Graham had to accept. Listen, church, God is the restorer of the brokenhearted. He's a miracle maker. He's a miracle maker. When there's no way, He provides a way. He will make a miracle for you. Do you believe that? He is gracious and He is loving of you. He has all the grace in the world for you. He has all the grace in the world. He's able to forgive you of anything. He's able to take the pain of your past. He will take it. He will heal it and He'll remove it. He will take the pain of our past away if we just surrender to His way. He's able to fill you with a hope, with a peace, with vision for your life and with purpose and with joy. Amen. This is what God says. I want you to receive these words right now. God says that you are more than a conqueror. He says that you are no longer a slave. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like a slave to myself. You know, stuck in my own patterns, stuck in my own world, my own experiences, trying to dictate my present reality. It's like I'm stuck, I'm a slave to myself. But He says that we are no longer slaves, not to this life, not to our past, not to our current decisions, but we are set free through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He said that you are whole, that we will be blessed as you come in the name of the Lord, that you will be blessed, that you are chosen. Does anyone believe this morning that you are chosen? And that when we are weak, He says that He is strong. You know, I love that. Because that really tells me I'm never actually weak. I'm never actually weak. Those really bad days, they're not actually bad at all. In those days where I'm struggling to believe in myself, I'm not weak, I'm strong in Him. Because that's the moment I go, God, I just need You right now. Holy Spirit, would You just do a little something in me? Because I need Your strength right now. Put on the coat of anointing. Put on the coat of authority. Put on the coat of wisdom. Put on the coat of power. Because all these things are inside of us through the empowerment of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Do you believe that today, church? Do you believe today that the Holy Spirit is in you? Does anyone believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit carries the power and the authority and the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God? Does anyone believe that? Because here's the truth. If He's in you, if He's in me, we then carry those things in our everyday life as we walk our daily journey. Is that true? Do you believe that today? Can we give God a shout of praise in this place? Thank you, Jesus. Best days are ahead. I love it. Church, can I just ask us to close our eyes right now? We're just going to create an opportunity. Perhaps you've been listening to this message this morning and you're just like, well, man, I want to jump on this bandwagon. I want to be filled with God in such a way to be able to say He's my way, He's my truth, and He is my life. And if you're here today and you want to give your heart to God for the first time, you've never done this before, and today you want to give your heart to God and you want to say, God, I believe in You. I believe that You are who You say You are. I don't understand it, but like Billy Graham, I'm going to walk in faith because I want to experience what Billy Graham experienced. And that's the fullness of who You created me to be. I want to walk in that. I don't want to stay in the ruts that I'm in. I don't want to feel like I have no power to get out of these situations or mindsets. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to feel powerless anymore. I want to walk in Your strength and Your power. So today, if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and God, I'm just going to ask you right now, could you just lift your hands? I'm not going to ask you out the front. See your hand back there. There's more people. I'm not going to ask you out the front or embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Anyone else right now, you just want to give your heart to God and accept Jesus. I'm just going to wait a moment. I know there is somebody here. I see your hand there, sir. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. All I'm going to do is pray with you. That's all it is. You could start right now by just saying, God, I just don't know that I can do this, but if You make me bold enough, I'll just lift my hand. No one's looking. It's literally only me, half the music team that's looking, that can see you right now. Would you just lift your hand? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just want to say this. I like to say this as much as I can. The Bible says it's by the grace of God. Now, you understand that when you understand just how big and majestic God is. It's by His grace that we can accept Him through faith. What that means is even if you didn't lift your hand just then, that doesn't mean you can't get saved right now. It's your faith in who God is that saves you. It also means this, though. It's only faith that can unsave us, or a lack of faith. So like Chuck Templeton, who lost his faith in God, that was a defining choice that he made. It's the only way we can lose our faith. So while your faith is in God, never, ever let the enemy church. Never let the enemy make you feel less than what you really are. And that's royalty. That's who you are. Because faith is what saves us. So if you lifted your hand or opened your heart to God today, I'm just going to say a prayer. Would you just accept this as your first prayer right now? Lord God, I acknowledge, first of all, Jesus, that You are real, that You came, died, rose again in victory, and now in heaven. Although I don't understand these things, something I understand is that You're real in this place and in my heart right now. I can't deny that You are real in my heart right now, however that is. So I place my faith in You and I accept You as Lord of my life, God of my life. And would You just take me on this Christian journey? Would You take me on this journey of being a believer in You and what this really is and what it means? Would You place strength in me and wisdom in me and a heart for You and a heart for people in me? Would You grow me and change me and transform me so that I become the person that You always knew I would be? Would You do that in my life today? I confess You as God. I give You my life in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together one more time for those people?